It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. It's late. It's 1912 UTC on May the 10th, 2023. I have a rather important meeting at 20 UTC. So I was trying to prepare for that, and I'm sorry I'm late, but such is life. We'll try and hit some news in there, but then I've got to run back to my spreadsheets. You see, anyway, GDPR stuff, so much fun. All right, well, if you want to hang out and chat while I'm here, or just for the later show, whenever the Dubious Goals Committee with Toe Pairs at 1930 UTC, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then once you're here, launchcom, C-O-M, press enter, type G for go to, and then type in on radio, all lowercase. Someone has been smoking up here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 cigarette butts, all scattered about, like they're not in the same, they're all in different parking spots. Anyway, let's jump into com and see what's happening. Probably everybody went home while I was gone. Nope, LCD's here. LCD, Stug, Ratsu, the crew has assembled, Buns is here, yeah, lots of people, we're hanging out, we're having a good time, you can join in, even though it's a little bit of a late show, we're halfway there, and we just started. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm just having one of those days where everything's rough and causing trouble. Alright, so I guess we should just go ahead and jump right into it since we don't have a ton of time, and there is news. Don't let me being late fool you. There is news. It's just I'm trying to keep my job. I want my job to be happy, and so it's gonna be rough. Alright, so we've got a unsorted news day. Bow, bow, bow. That's right. Unsorted news. So, let's jump into it. First, we've got stuff going on in Gaza. Israel-Palestine news, I guess we could say. A barrage of rockets has been fired from the Gaza Strip towards southern Israel after the Israeli forces renewed air raids on the besieged territory. At least 6 Palestinians were killed in the latest air attack, bringing the death toll in 2 days of Israel bombardment to 21, including children, and at least 64 wounded. At least 6 Palestinians, 64 wounded. A lot of sad pictures and a lot of sad interviews of family members who are dead. But let's see if we get some more details from the West, from France. What does France say? France 24 says, Palestinian militants fired hundreds of rockets from the Gaza Strip into Israel on Wednesday. Israel pressed ahead with a series of airstrikes that killed 21 Palestinians, including 3 senior militants. As the fight continued, a state-run Egyptian TV station announced that Egypt had brokered a ceasefire. But shortly after the announcement, more rockets were fired toward Israel, including a new salvo at the seaside metropolis of Tel Aviv, while Israel struck more targets in Gaza. The continued fighting raised questions about if or when a truce would take effect. In a primetime TV address, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed that Israel had dealt a harsh blow to the militants, but he cautioned the round is not over. We say to the terrorists and those who send them, we see you everywhere, you can't hide, and we choose the place and time to strike you. He said, adding that Israel would also decide when calm is restored. So, in a very Israel-style way, they're saying, hey, we got this under control. Hey, LD Beth, welcome, welcome. Buns out here trying to get a roll call going. Good to hear it. All right, so So yeah, so that's going on in Israel. What else is happening? Well, sadly, this is a kind of like a court piece of news. A UK court rules in favor of Shell in Nigerian oil spill case. You don't know, Shell and most of the oil companies, but especially the Dutch Shell oil company, really has done a number on poor old Africa, all over the place, but especially anywhere there's oil to be had. The UK's Supreme Court has ruled that it was too late for a group of Nigerian claimants to sue Shell subsidiaries over a 2011 offshore oil spill. On December 20th, 2011, 40,000 barrels of crude leaked when a tanker was loaded at Shell's Bonga oil field, 120 kilometers off the coast. Shell disputed the allegations and said the Bonga spill was dispersed offshore and didn't impact the shoreline. Not that they needed to clean it up or anything. It's just that the pardon me. Made me laugh, and then it made me cough. It's just so funny. Anyway, the 40,000 barrels, we don't dispute that it leaked, but it went off into the ocean. That's somebody else's problem. Shell disputed the allegations and said the Bonga spill was dispersed and didn't impact the shoreline. On Wednesday, the Supreme Court upheld rulings by two lower courts that found the plaintiffs had brought their case after the six-year legal expiry date. According to Reuters, the court did not look at the evidence supporting either assertions of either side. It only decided the legal point of nuisance. So, there you go. If you want to kill somebody, just make it impossible for them to bring cases until they get there. So that's what's going on. Wonderful UK court system helping out the little guy, as usual. Speaking of the little guy, a boy aged eight survived 2 days in Michigan by eating snow. An 8-year-old boy lost in the remote woodlands of Michigan survived for 2 days by eating snow and hiding beneath a log for shelter. Nante Niemi went missing on Saturday while camping with his family in Porcupine Mountain State Park. He got lost walking to gather firewood, sparking a 150-person search effort to rescue him. On Monday, he was found underneath his log in good health, about 2 miles from camp. He had braved the elements by taking shelter under a log where he was ultimately found. The boy told police he ate clean snow for hydration. Soon after the alarm was raised on Saturday, his mother thanked people for their support, but implored everyone to please stay away. It will make it harder to find him. State police said the terrain is very remote and hilly, with lots of standing water due to the time of year. The team focused on a roughly 40-square-mile area of the park, 100 square kilometers. So anyway, that's kind of some good news for you right now. Uh-oh, more coughing. Pardon me. I'm sorry about that. Let's see what we got going on here. Yeah. 8-year-olds don't normally survive very long in Michigan. Well, children in general in the United States, once they're not with their parents, their survival rate tanks really quickly. Let's jump back to Britain for a cool bit of tech story. A British kid has pled guilty to a U.S. 2020 Twitter hack. A British national extradited to the U.S. last month has pled guilty in New York to a role in one of the biggest hacks in social media history. The July 2020 Twitter hack affected over 130 accounts, including Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Joseph James O'Connor, 23, known as Plugwalk Joe, pleaded guilty to hacking charges carrying a total maximum sentence of over 70 years in prison. The hacking was part of a large-scale Bitcoin scam. Yeah, now you remember it, don't you? O'Connor from Liverpool was charged alongside three other men over the scam. U.S. teenager Graham Ivan Clark pleaded guilty in 2021. Nima Fazeli of Orlando, Florida, and Mason Shepherd of Bognor Regis in the U.K. were charged with federal crimes. U.S. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth Polite Jr. said O'Connor's action is flagrant and malicious, saying he had harassed, threatened, and extorted his victims. Like many criminal actors, O'Connor tried to stay anonymous by using a computer to hide behind stealth accounts and aliases from outside the U.S. Let's see, in 2020, an estimated 350 million Twitter users saw suspicious tweets from official accounts of the platform's biggest user. Thousands fell for a scam, trusting their crypto giveaway was real. Cyber experts agree that the consequences of the Twitter hack could have been far worse if O'Connor and the other hackers had more sophisticated plans than a get-rich-quick scheme. Disinformation could have been spread to affect political discourse, and markets could have been moved by well-worded fake business announcements. So yeah, it's kind of funny. They had an amazing opportunity, and they're like, oh, I know, let's get people to send us Bitcoin. Like, whoops. But that's what you get when you have, like, a bunch of 20-year-olds who hack into something. You need an idea man first. Let's see. Tobe has left for mail. Yeah. Hey, welcome back. Good to see Tobe around. Remind you, in 7 minutes, we've got the Dubious Gold Can Do with Tobe show that airs every day at 1930 UTC. So tune in for that. Also, earlier today, I went for a walk, and I saw some turtles, and I posted that picture on Mastodon. It was pretty cool. And then I saw some mushrooms. They were little baby mushrooms, but they were mushrooms nonetheless, and I thought of Tobe. Ratsu would like to know the details of these hacks. Well, here we go. The hack showed how fragile Twitter's security was. The attackers telephoned a small number of Twitter employees with a believable tale to convince them to hand over their internal login details, which eventually granted the hackers access to Twitter's powerful administrative tools. Essentially, the hackers managed to use social engineering tricks to get access to the internal control panel at the site. So, there you go. That's what's going on, Ratsu. As usual, the most incredible hacks aren't really hacks. They're just people being dumb. People, they're always your weakest link. Almost always. Well, let's see. What other fun and interesting stories do we have? The NRC, that's the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, that's the United States nuclear body, has issued the final license to Holtec International to build and operate the HiStore Consolidated Interim Storage Facility for used nuclear fuel in New Mexico. In a partnership with Eddie Lee Energy Alliance, Holtec launched the initiative to set up the HiStore CISF in 2015 at a site between Carlsbad and Hobbs in Lee County in New Mexico on land owned by ELEA, which is the alliance. It would be used for storing used nuclear fuel from U.S. power reactors until a permanent repository is available. Used fuel currently stored at reactor sites would be transported by rail to the CSIF. Of course, we hope. Hopefully the railway is more reliable when transporting this nuclear fuel than when transporting, you know, vinyl, you know, volatile chemicals. So I don't know. If you know how they transport used fuel and by rail, and if it's any better than how they do gas, let me know. Anyway, that's what's going on there in our nuclear news. A little bit of nuclear news. There's a new spent fuel depository happening. Now, this is a little weird. A Dutch man kept a 101-year-old father's body in a freezer to talk to him. A Dutch man in the town of Landgraaf kept his deceased father in a freezer for more than a year so he could still talk to him. The man, whose name has not been public, told Dutch media site One Limburg his father died 18 months ago. "I didn't want to lose my father, otherwise I would miss him," the man, 82, told the outlet. Landgraaf police say they are investigating the situation, but don't suspect foul play. We're currently investigating the death of this person and why the remains were placed in a freezer. In the interest of investigation, we're not making any statements about the relationship between the residents at the building. Police found out about the situation when the dead man's doctor alerted police. Landgraaf police reportedly found the 82-year-old man's home in disarray and are giving him a week to clean up before authorities assess whether he is fit to live on his own. That's one of my fears. I do not keep a tidy house, and it sure would be terrible if I had to go. They were like, "You can't live on your own. You're too messy." LCD points out, as long as they use reinforced containers, it'd be okay. I've seen crash tests of nuclear rail capsules. that are pretty impressive.
Cool.
Well, that's good. That's reassuring. Thank you. See you later, A2.4 AM. Thanks for swinging by. All right. We've got about 3 minutes to go because I was late and because I'm reading news slow. I'm also kind of anxious about this meeting that's coming up. I'm going to be honest with you. UK, Israel. Here, let's do another nice story. Today was hardly any death, just some destruction. Check this out. Having experienced homelessness and unemployment for years, Ron Nessman was leaving a job interview at an Applebee's in California when a baby in a stroller rolling into the path of several cars captured his attention. Nessman sprinted into the street, stopped the stroller, and saved the child from harm, and landed his first job in years to cap off a story that has interrupted a U.S. news cycle dominated by headlines about mass killings and bitter partisan politics. "I didn't even have time to think about it," Nessman told the local news station when reflecting on his actions. "You just react." Unhoused for about 8 years, Nessman had reportedly been living with his sister during recent months and was in need of work when he went to an Applebee's to interview for a position washing dishes. Nessman had left the interview and was waiting on a bench outside when he spotted the emergency unfolding. A woman had stopped off in the driveway of a nearby car wash and loaded her great-nephew into a stroller when strong winds blew the baby away. The woman chased after the stroller but fell, and she struggled to get back up as she watched the baby roll toward the street. I said, "You know, I got it," Nessman recounted. Because I felt so bad for the lady. I got nephews and nieces. I can imagine something like that happening. So yeah, so there you go. Hardly any death. Hooray. And we end with a baby who did not get crushed by cars, but instead was saved by a guy who's going to be washing dishes at Applebee's. That's not a bad way to end things. Thanks for being here. I'm sorry I was late. Sorry today's kind of a trash show, but... hey, listen to the Dubious Goals Committee. Tobe probably got a great show. And then it's Wednesday. So if you press that equal sign in com, you'll see the rest of the schedule, including shows at 20 hours from, or at 2100 hours from Cinesphere. So check that out. And then, of course, tomorrow we've got a lot of cool shows, too. So check it out.